brethren's significance. I'm still talking about practical wisdom or wisdoms from the birth of Christ. These are part three today, which I'm going to run through. Hallelujah. I pray that God will give you a big heart to receive it. Amen. Significance and greatness is hidden in God's dream. Significance and greatness is hidden in God's assignment for your life. It's hidden in God's thoughts for your life. Hallelujah. And the truth of the matter is, it's not always easy for people to understand you when you are carrying God's dream. They did not understand Mary. Mary had to move away. A lot of people will not understand you when you begin to share the vision that God has impregnated your heart with. To some people, it's going to sound like foolishness. To some people, they're going to call you crazy. You know why? Because they are looking at you the now. They can't see the you, the future. For example, these kids today, I was sharing with our assistant pastor. The children, the way they projected it was today. They were using website.com. The language they understand today. People carry great assignments that does not look like now. They are carrying assignment for tomorrow. I am praying for somebody here this morning that great thing that God has given you that does not even like look like today, I say you will birth it in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say better amen. A lot of people cannot see beyond. They can't see beyond what they don't know. People can see only based on what they know. And human beings are limited with knowledge. It's near impossible sometimes for a lot of people to understand what is greater than them. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am carrying something greater than now. Amen. That person you told, except they know the character of God, except they understand the character of God. I heard the story of a man. He's a man. When he was a little baby, let me use a biblical one. Moses and his older sister, Miriam. When Miriam was following the basket in which Moses was placed, when the Pharaoh said, kill all the sons of the Jews, and she was towing and following, waiting to see where that child is going to land, and she followed him to the place where the daughter of Pharaoh was bathing, to the extent that she could overhear what they were discussing when they pulled the baby out, and she interjected. It was a supernatural incursion from heaven, and said, well, I know somebody who can help you take care of it. Somebody could have said, hello, who are you? But they didn't say anything of that nature. Miriam shielded Moses, but she did not know that Moses was going to lead her to freedom. Did somebody just hear what I said? She did not know the person you are sitting next to now. You don't know what their effect is going to be in your life in the future. You don't know what they are carrying within them, how it's going to impact your life in the future. I want you to look at them and say, I may not know you too well now, but I want to celebrate you. You better celebrate me now, so that when the real thing comes and you need me, I will remember you. Praise the Lord. Recently in the political world, our president named Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, moving the embassy of the United States into Jerusalem. And all the whole world are making noise to the extent there was an emergency meeting at the United Nations. And most countries of the world, they said they are against that move. And the United States said, we are taking notes. We are taking names. Because all of you will come every year, every moment, cap in hand for AIDS. No more AIDS. And I sign to it, including Nigeria. No more AIDS. Because if you can't help the cause of God, why should God help you? Praise the Lord. I hope somebody's understanding me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because all their meetings and their agenda at the United Nations, they are like, okay, we are going to stop the move of God. But the thing is, let them gather together. God says, but not by me, saith the Lord. For your sake, they will scatter. Everyone that gathers against your destiny, against your life, who are doing gossip, backbiting, they will smile in your presence. They will talk evil about you. I say, God is going to silence them, and God is going to scatter them. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, shout a better amen. From time to time, things need to change. And you see, one of the most evil things you can do to yourself is to resist godly change. Amen? Change needs, when God injects change, it needs to be accommodated. Because things can change so that it can fit your assignment. Hallelujah. It's just like pregnancy, like I shared with us last week. A woman gets pregnant. Things are changing. She has to accommodate it. She changes her clothes. Hallelujah. She's not wearing, a time will come, all those slimy clothes, she can't wear them anymore. She has to wear the big boo-boo. And everybody will become an evidence. Somebody say, I will change. Oh my God, can I find another church? Somebody say, I will change. And let me tell you something. Stop blaming change. I woke up this morning to get this message ready and pray. And as soon as I stepped into the living room, I opened the curtains. And lo and behold, it was snow. Before me. I'm like, oh my God. Why on a Sunday morning? That didn't even occur to me. I'm just like, oh God, you are great. You mean last night and now snow? That shows your greatness, God. Awesome. And I turned back. I went to do what I was going to do. Praise the Lord. Before it would bother me and say, Sunday, people won't come to church today. That didn't bother me today. Praise the Lord. That tells you that God is working on me. Amen. Change. Somebody say change. Somebody say change. Don't blame change. Don't blame change. Hallelujah. If you blame change, it will leave you behind. Amen. You see, I was discussing with somebody. I read an article he wrote, and that article really, really touched my heart. So I called him. Just to let him know that the article blessed me. You know. And the conclusion of the whole matter is, when I look at my labor in this ministry, and I look at the future, will my children want to be part of this church when they grow up? If we continue the way we are going, and there is no change, there's no likelihood. But I know I won't suffer for nothing. Amen. I'm waiting for that day that my son too will say, Dad, I heard the calling of God upon my life. Amen. Not, do you want to be a pastor? No. God forbid. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. A pregnant woman, she eats a little for herself, but she eats much more because of her baby. Change demands her to eat more. What is the change going to demand of you? Hallelujah. It's just like grace. Grace has a demand. You want God's grace upon your life. You want God's grace to operate upon your life? There is a demand. When you obey God, then you can pull grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. Grace does not come in disobedience. Grace is not for, oh, after I sin, I will say, Lord, thank you for sorry. I'm really sorry, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Your grace that does not allow me to die now and go to hell. No, that's not grace. That's not the grace. Praise the Lord. That one can bring disgrace. Disgrace will not come into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph moved to Bethlehem, Ephrathah, the Bible calls it a very small place, seemingly insignificant. But let me tell you something. Your assignment as a designated place, it's not a place you decide by yourself. It's a place that God decides for you. Did I hear an amen? Did I hear an amen? Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, not where you want, but where God says. Say it with confidence. Say, not where you want, but where God says. Somebody say it one more time. Not where you want, but where God says. Hallelujah. For Mary, Nazareth was the place of encounter. Bethlehem was the place of delivery. I pray, let me tell you, the procedure of things may not necessarily be like that, but you have to be sensitive enough to know where God wants you to birth your vision. And you can look, I remember coming to Kansas City, one of my senior pastors, I love him to life. He said, Carl, what are you going to do there? Who is there? What is there? It's like Kansas City is nothing. But there is something in Kansas City today. You didn't get that. People, Kansas City may not be like New York. It may not be like Dallas. It may not be like LA. It may not be like Chicago. But there is something. God has an agenda. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a reason. Why he allowed Mary? He said, Augustus Caesar said, let there be census. Let everybody go to their house. It's not because the man wanted to count. It's because God said, begin to count. So that Mary and Joseph, they can go to Ephrathah and be where I want them to be. I pray that laws will change. Things will happen that will place you where God wants you to be. If there's somebody here following me, shout a good amen. It was pre-planned by God. Bethlehem, where Jesus was supposed to be born, pre-planned. pre-planned. Jacob said to Esau, you want this food? Give me your birthright. Is it possible to be discussing on food and suddenly jumps to birthright? That was pre-planned. The guy knew the weakness of his brother. And he knew that, hey, once he says it, I get it. He planned it ahead. And Esau fell for it. I pray that you will fall for God's plan. Maybe when you get home, you'll understand what I'm talking about tonight, or this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Where God says does not mean convenience. Is somebody hearing me? It wasn't convenient. I did this study. Okay, what's the distance between Nazareth and Ephrathah? It was 80 miles. Today, if you are going to drive 80 miles, that would take you at least 1.5 hours driving. They were not driving. They were on donkey. Amen. And they didn't have two donkeys. Even if they had two donkeys, donkeys does not gallop. They don't gallop like horses and run. You understand what I'm trying to say? Donkeys just gradually 80 miles with a pregnant woman. Do you know how long it was going to take? Hallelujah. It was not convenient. Amen. God says go there. Go there does not mean convenience. It's just going to be essential. Somebody say, Lord, I'm willing to trade my convenience for essential. I say, Lord, I am willing to trade my convenience for essential. In Jesus' name. And then they got to the place where it was foretold that the Savior was going to be born. And they got there. Bethlehem was not big. Ephrata, a smaller village. And the only hotel that was in town, only one hotel. Only one Hope Inn. And there was no hope in Hope Inn. Because they said, it is full. We are sorry. You know, a lot of people have like beaten this scripture like as if the owner of the inn did something bad. Praise the Lord. No, he didn't do anything bad. He just said, we are full. I've gone to Marriott many times before. Oh, sorry, we are full. You mean there's no room? No, it's full. There's an event in town. So you have to find another place. It may be cockroach infested place. No room. Amen. But the question you need to ask is this. Is it possible that the God of the whole earth, the God who created the whole universe, the God who created the tangible and the intangible, the God who created the ground, Bethlehem and Ephrata, the inn and the owner of the inn and all his family members, the God who can fold a baby in a woman's womb without knowing a man, is it possible that that God cannot make sure there is a room available for his son? Hello, somebody. Is it possible that God will overlook that detail? No, he didn't overlook it. Somebody say pre-plan. Oh, come on, say it like you believe me. Say pre-plan. Pre-plan. God made sure it was so. Somebody wants to say pastor. Say pastor. Come on, say pastor. Say it louder. Pastor. Why? Thank you. I'll tell you why. Are you ready for the answer? Don't get angry when I give you the answer. So that you won't have an excuse. Did you hear me? So that today, tomorrow, in the future, you will not have an excuse. Oh, you know what? It was because there was no room at the inn for me. There was no room for Jesus too. But he became great. He fulfilled his assignment. Praise the Lord. It was not about where he was born. Praise the Lord. It was about what he carried. What he was born for. Hallelujah. What you were born for may not fit where you were born. Don't kill yourself emotionally and destroy your life because, oh, I didn't know my father. Somebody said, well, even when I was growing up, it was my grandmother that took care of me. Thank God for grandmother. Thank God you don't know your father. But what God put inside you, your father couldn't do it. Your mother couldn't do it. Nobody could root it out. I say you will be great. People complaining. Emotional complaints. You see, a lot of people have used their emotion to blind them to the extent that they can't see their future. What is most important to them is, oh, where I was born. If not be saying, I was born in the village in Nigeria, my life would have been better than this. There are millions and millions who were born in the village who never wore a shoe until they were 14 years old. One of them is a general overseer. And is the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Before he saw a shoe, many of us, we have changed hundreds of shoes. Oh, I grew up, whether it's a blessing or a curse, I grew up as a little boy where we had drivers, we had cars. Sunday, we go to church in a convoy. No sooner About 4 years old, my father died. And wahala start. That's why polygamy is not good though. The man who marry all the wives and controlling them, one day will die. That's why hold on to the wife God has given you. Praise the Lord. So that you won't destroy the future of your children. Nobody can ask me today and say, Carl, are you really proud of your father? No, I am not. My mother is going to be here by God's grace next year. And I will say this thing while she's sitting down there. That, am I proud of? No, I'm not. He should have left my mother alone. Because it cost me more heartache. But I don't hang on to the heartache. Praise the Lord. I was cheated out of so many things. And God said, this boy, I will show them that he doesn't need them. He doesn't need that family name. He doesn't need that family inheritance. I will give him an inheritance that I prepared for him even before he was born. Somebody shout a good amen.
Amen.
Are you following? Are you getting something? Praise the Lord. Amen. God made sure that there was no room. Jesus could have been born in the palace. You that you complain, I don't know my mother, I don't know my father, blah, blah, blah. But the day you were born, some people looked over you, look at his nose. How handsome. Like when our youngest son was born, pastor, his ears look like you. That was the only thing he resembles me with. Oh my God, wonderful. For Jesus, it was goats. No wonder we say Merry Christmas. Those were the greetings that greeted Jesus. Are you listening to me? Huh? In the barn. Coo-coo-coo-coo! Those were the greetings that greeted Jesus. You at least you were born in General Hospital. You were born in Truman. Or you were born in one private hospital. Hallelujah. Where all those things don't matter. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's why, you see, the issue of birthday. Don't kill yourself for birthday. Go after achievement. The reason God gave birth to you, the reason God created you, is much more important than celebrating your age. Because when we gather and celebrate your age and give you cake to cut, we need to ask you the next question. What have you achieved so far? Today we are going to thank God for an achievement. Praise God. This my daughter made me proud. I'm going to tell you the truth. She made me proud. A lot of people have excuses. I am this. No, nobody here to help me. This and that. She came uncertainty. Two babies. Amen. And she's determined to go to school and become a nurse. And she did it. And she graduated. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor you don't have an excuse. Stop shackling your mind. Stop shackling yourself. And giving yourself reasons. You are looking at a pebble. You are calling it a mountain. Whatever it takes, give it. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Whatever it takes, give it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus was born in a manger, but a universal influence. Hallelujah. I'm looking at people today who are listening to me, who are going to become global influence. Global influence. As a mother, as a father, in the mighty name of Jesus. You that you have come, you don't even know you are pregnant. A baby is already growing in your womb right now. And it's going to be great in his generation. If you are that person, say a good amen.
Amen.
I hear some men's voice louder. Amen. Your faith will deliver it to you. In Jesus' mighty name. You see, the innkeeper said, no room. Yeah, fine. No room for this dream. I want to announce to everybody here, both great and small, There is room in this church for your dream to be born. There is room in this church for your dream to grow. Are you listening to me? We are not dream killers in this place. Your dream will not die in this place. Your dream will grow in this place. Your dream will achieve in this place. Your dreams will come alive in this place. If you believe it, shout a good amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. And if my wife had the opportunity, she would tell you. My heart beats for you. My heart beats for you. Sometimes I weep over this church. And when I say this church, not this building, the human beings in this church, I'm like, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? But the finality of this is that in the beginning, God said, what I can do is to speak the word into your life that open that you will catch that idea and you will run with that idea. One thing I want you to know, you see, why I encourage you to always share your testimonies. Like one of our sisters here shared a couple of wonderful testimonies with me yesterday. I mean, during this fasting praying period, you know, she graduated. She's not put in the position of her graduation or the ability she has. And then a Muslim came. You see, God can use anybody. God can instigate anybody. Anybody that God needs to instigate for you, he will instigate them today in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, are you working in your post? No, I'm not yet. They said there is no room. No room, ke. Don't worry. Give me all your resume. Take it to HR. You know it's holiday. Don't worry. Everything will be sorted out. Hallelujah. That's a great one. And our daughter, I told the girl yesterday, I said, no wonder. When I look at her, I'm like, this girl, something is about her. She's smart. She got a full ride scholarship. Hallelujah. We need to celebrate God for day. Let's celebrate something good. You know what that means? No loan. Huh? That is killing a lot of families. Loan. No loan. That will be your own story too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Your story is the story of this church. This church has no story. Without you, we have no story. Do you understand? The story of this church is our story. It's the things that God is doing in our lives. That is our story. That's why we need to share the story. One thing I know in this church is that people get pregnant and they deliver babies. If you want a pregnancy and you are married, shout amen. You know, we take certain things for joke. Okay. You know, I shared it here, if you remember, when the, what's that group called again?
Midnight Crew.
One of them. She's been struggling to have a child. On this same pulpit. You remember, those of us who are here, we prayed for her. She said, a lot of pastors have prayed for me. I said, this one has not prayed for you yet. Hallelujah. She left. Months later, she called and said, I'm pregnant. Oh. And then she said, I don't deliver. Oh. That will be somebody's story. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me tell you something. I have that grace. I'm telling you. They said to my wife, you can't have a child. Really? You think so? Not in this house. It must happen. It happened. The kind of food that was... Don't let me go there. Praise the Lord. You see, there is nothing wrong. It's not ideal. Oh, you are from a broken family. You see, sometimes we feel that our brokenness is our disadvantage. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Your brokenness is actually your advantage. Because it will tantamount to the glory of God. I want to speak to somebody's life this afternoon. I prophesy into your life that your story will no longer be hidden. I say your story will no longer be hidden. Your story will come out for all to see. In the mighty name of Jesus. You who have never had a story to tell before, your life is going to become your story. And it's going to give God all the glory. Shout a good amen. Hallelujah. You see, time will fail me to say a whole lot of stuff. I'll say more next week. Let me give you a hint. And I'll close from here. We're going to pray. When favor looks for you, it is not particularly you, the person, that favor came to see. It is what you carry that called favor. It is what you carry that people want to be related to. When the wise men came and they brought gold, frankincense, myrrh, did they give it to Mary? Who did they bring it to? They brought it for Jesus. It is your assignment that will attract the provision. It is your assignment that will attract the gift. It is what you carry. Let me repeat it to somebody else here. God is not looking to make you rich. Don't make that mistake. God is looking to make you become a blessing. Somebody say, I am a candidate.